When we speak of the battle of the nafs, it suggests an individual struggle. But when we speak of courage and justice, it also involves society. The manner in which we conduct ourselves as individuals within society or community comes together in this battle of the nafs. Usually when I am striving against my nafs or my soul, I usually think of things like pride, riya, for example, greed, you know, things like those. I don't normally think of injustice or courage, until I remember that one of the most fundamental things in the battle of the nafs is to want for others what we want for ourselves. We find that Islam glorifies justice. When you ask the ulama, what is the definition of injustice, of dhulm? They define dhulm as wada'u shay fi ghayri mahalli, to place something where it does not rightfully belong. When Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam was asked about justice, he said, it is sweeter than cold water given to one who is thirsty on a hot day. It is sweeter than honey. It is softer than butter. It is more fragrant than musk. Everything in society hinges on justice. A society that is just thrives. A society that is unjust is doomed. And that is why you find again and again Islam emphasizing this, that there is haqqullah, there is haqqul nas. Don't violate the rights of people. Even if you go to battle and you become martyred and you're falling, they say as soon as the first drop of blood of a shaheed falls on the ground, all his sins are forgiven. Except what? Except the rights of others. So the issue of justice is constantly brought up. Why aren't people attracted to justice? There are many reasons. Justice requires us to be selfless instead of selfish. Justice requires us to bear patience, especially when it means losing a certain benefit that is to our advantage. But most importantly, justice requires courage. Courage is about being more concerned with what Allah wants rather than what people want. That is why we say, for example, for our sisters to wear hijab requires courage, because when you go out in public, you have to constantly be reminding yourselves that I am concerned about what Allah wants and expects from me. What is it that is more inflated in my mind? Is it the esteem of people? What will people say? What will people think? All these people, once they step out, they really don't think about you anymore. And they're all going to die, and their bodies are going to rot in their graves, and they're going to decay. And on the day of judgment, there is no relationship between you and them. What remains is you and your Lord. And that is why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, لَوْ تَمَيَّزَتِ الْأَشْيَاءِ, if every trait and everything was to be segregated and put in its place, لَقَانَ الصِّدْقِ مَعَ الشُّجَاعَ, you would find that truth is always with courage. وَكَانَ الْجُبْنُ مَعَ الْكِذْبِ, and you will find that cowardice is always with falsehood. When I look at the Muslim nations today and I see the shambles in which we are as an ummah, I blame the ulama to some degree. إِذَا فَسَدَ الْعَالِمِ فَسَدَ الْعَالَمِ, when the alim becomes corrupt, then the whole world becomes corrupt. Don't get me wrong, we have some very special scholars and leaders who are our driving force, and without them we wouldn't have any needle in our compass, we wouldn't have any means of direction. But there are issues as well that we have to acknowledge. And when I drill this down, I bring it down to three qualities that plague our scholars. And I'm going to say this very candidly: hypocrisy, arrogance, and cowardice. No matter how I slice it and dice it, whenever I see a flaw in any scholar, I cannot see anything besides these three things. It might not be all three, it might be one of them, but it always resonates with one of these three things. There is either a lack of sincerity, ikhlas, or there is no humility, tawadu. I am the alim and you are I'm the shepherd, you are the sheep, right? That attitude. Or there is no shuja'a, there is no courage. I'm talking about all Muslims, Shia and Sunni around the world, all of them. And what happens is that when we have spiritual leaders who lack courage, it creates a generation of people who lack courage. You see, the people of the Prophet Moses alayhi salam were kept as slaves by the Pharaoh for generations. And therefore, even when Musa alayhi salam saved them from slavery and freed them from those shackles, mentally they were still slaves. So when he crossed the river with them and he brought them to the promised land, and he said to them, enter this land and fight your enemies, Allah has promised you this land, they were not able to. They just didn't have the courage. They said, فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَائِدُونَ. Oh Moses, go you and your Lord fight, we are sitting here. When you're done, call us. will come. To this Allah punishes them. Outwardly it's a punishment. He says to them, قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ 40 سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Their punishment now shall be that this promised land will be forbidden to them for 40 years. They shall wander in the desert. Why was this punishment put in place? It was put in place because a whole generation had to pass away. By wandering in the desert for 40 years, those individuals who had lived all their lives as slaves and their children, they all began to pass away and die in the desert. And a new generation was born in the desert that was hardy and that was ready to go out and fight. So outwardly it was a punishment, but inwardly it was a blessing, it was a preparation, it was necessary because mentally they could not free themselves from that. There are many, many reasons why we find that in the society we live in today, we don't as a community have the people with the courage to be able to stand up for truth in large numbers and be ready for the Imam when he returns. And I believe that the future generation that will come after might be able to raise this sort of a generation, provided our scholars and our leaders and we as a group begin to recognize the importance of justice and courage. The hallmark of today's world is individualism. It's about my needs, my desires, my goals, my happiness. Anyone who stands in my way, I will curse him, I will fight him, I will divorce him, I will get rid of him, I will kill him. But it's all about me and more about I. Karbala is largely remembered for justice because in Karbala we see all the opposite of this. We see selflessness, we see courage, we see patience. It was concern for the greater good. It is not normal to see a mother wanting to see her son die, but we see that in Karbala. Like for example, when Sa'id bin Abdullah stands in front of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and takes arrows on his chest. Or for example, when Hur is the commander of an army of 1,000 men and he leaves a position of authority and power in exchange for being killed. Or for example, when someone like Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam is asked to move the tents from the banks of the river, or is told instead of fighting, you go and fetch water. You see, it's easy to go and fight because it's natural to him. He's known for his courage, for his bravery, for his ability to fight. But he's remembered for his courage because of his submission to his master's will, for the fact that he gives up what he really wants to do for a greater cause. When we realize the value of justice and courage and freedom, we're then willing to even give it up and sacrifice for it. And that is why Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam says, "Hayhat min nazilla," that I will not live a life of humiliation. And therefore, we need to call on our leaders on this issue of justice and leadership. Think of any religious leader that you know, that you admire, and that you look up to. You will see that the most outstanding quality that you know him for is his justice and courage. What are the individuals we look up to? We say, Imam Khomeini. What was it about him? Courage.
ننگ نیست بر کشورهای اسلامی اسرائیل بیاید فلسطینی ها را اونطور کند و 1 میلیارد جمعیت مسلمین بشینند تماشاچی باشند. از چی میترسن اینها؟ چرا باید اینقدر بی عرضه باشند؟ نفت شریان حیات اینهاست. اگر 10 روز نفت را به روی اونها ببندند خاضع میشن اونها.
مسلمان ها باید از جا برخیزند، باید قیام کنند. خدا فرموده است انما اعیذکم بواحده ان تقوموا لله مثنا و فرادا. نگید تنها هستیم، تنهایی هم باید قیام بکنیم، اجتماعی هم باید قیام کنیم، با هم باید قیام کنیم. همه موظفیم به این که برای خدا قیام کنیم و برای حفظ کشورهای اسلامی قیام کنیم.
The greatest sign of courage is when you're able to tell a tyrant, a zalim, that he is a zalim on his face, even though you don't have the army, you don't have the guns, you only have your words. It's easy to say and courage to speak with courage when you're safe. And if you think about the scholars that you are most disenchanted with, disillusioned with, you will find that the thing that bothers you the most is their lack of courage and injustice. And therefore, when we talk about how do we nurture justice and courage in our battle against the nafs, I want to just summarize here and say that when we want to raise our children to be just, we need to teach them this fundamental principle to want for others what they want for themselves. And when we want to nurture in our children the ability to be courageous, we need to teach them to worry about what Allah wants and not what the people want.